Have you ever gone on vacation and been shocked by the forecast? That's what happened to us when we arrived at Bryce Canyon National Park and found ourselves in the middle of monsoon season.
You're listening to Travel FOMO, a podcast for people self-diagnosed with wanderlust.
Welcome to the Travel FOMO podcast. I am Jamin Houghton, and I am here with my wife and monsoon survivor, Hillary.
Monsoon season. It's kind of funny that like we arrived and had no clue it was even a thing.
I know. We left Yosemite and we were going to Utah to see the desert parks.
Yeah. I'm thinking like super hot.
Right. It was August. Like Bryce, Zion, Arches, like we're going to Horseshoe Bend.
Yeah.
And all I'm picturing is like desert.
Yeah.
And no clue that there was a monsoon season.
Yep. We found it.
Welcome to the second episode of season 10, where we are on our national park spree. We are exploring so many national parks. If you listened to the last episode, you heard us talk all about Yosemite. If you didn't, go back and catch it. We had a lot of fun there, one of our favorites. But today we are visiting Bryce Canyon National Park. And in the coming weeks, we'll be doing all the deserty ones, Zion, Arches, and so on.
Yeah, Mesa Verde, the Rockies. We got a lot coming up, so it'll be good.
And in this episode, we are talking all about Bryce Canyon. We drove in from Yosemite. We had an engine light come on because it was a travel day. That is basically our life. We didn't realize that monsoon season was a thing in Utah. We found that out when we got there. We ended up at a great RV park. You know, this is a small national park, one that not a lot of people go to, but some big time views, pretty amazing. And we're going to tell you all about Ruby.
Yeah. Who's this Ruby chick? We kept seeing her all over the place.
She's everywhere in Bryce.
So a little bit about Bryce Canyon National Park. It is in southwestern Utah, and it is famous for being basically all rock. It's the largest collection of hoodoos, and hoodoos are basically these kind of rock formations that in Bryce Canyon, they have the largest collection of them in the world. And these rock formations kind of look like these tall pillars that have been created over time. Would you say that's the best way to explain them? Yeah, it's like these
like little pillars. Yeah,
that's yeah. Except they're giant pillars, maybe.
Yeah. There's just so many of them. Yeah. That when you like look out and see them, they look little. But when you get up to them, you're right; they're really big.
Right. Yeah. True. Yeah. J.W. Humphrey worked for the Forest Service, and he saw this land in 1915, and when he saw it, he was looking out over Sunrise Point, and he was like, this is so beautiful. How can I make this available to the whole public? And he literally set out on a mission to make it accessible for other people. And he eventually was the person who took the steps that were necessary to make the rim of the park, which is basically the park.
Right.
Like, if you look at a map of the park, there's like one road. And it's the rim. And he made it accessible by automobile. So a really big deal. So he's kind of like the father of the park, you could say. And the park is actually pretty high altitude. It's 8,000 to 9,000 feet above sea level, which is enough to make you seasick. And at 8,000 feet, your oxygen levels are about like 75% of what they would be at sea level. So that's like a pretty big difference.
So that would be altitude sickness.
Yeah, altitude sickness. What'd I say?
Seasickness. Seasickness.
Well, that is different, although it does have to do with the sea. I was taking my cues. Yes. Correction, altitude sickness. And there are some really popular viewpoints there. Sunrise and sunset are incredible times to be there. You've got Sunrise Point and Bryce Point. Those are really good places to watch the sunrise. Then there's sunset, which they recommend Inspiration Point or Paria View. So just some tips if you're thinking about going. And interesting thing to note, okay, more than half of the people that come to Bryce Canyon, they do it June through September, which is also when we came. I did not think it was overcrowded, though, by the way.
No.
From my perspective. Nice. But if you want to go at a time where there's less people, October through May is a really great time to go. In the spring, there's like a lot fewer people, cooler temperatures and all of that. But in the winter, you'll see like snow blanketing all of this red rock. And it's just really a stark contrast, and it's really beautiful. So
I think that'd be cool to see.
I do too. And if you think about it, I think a lot of people have seen photos of or paintings of Bryce Canyon, and they just don't know that's what they're looking at. But that I feel like I've seen a ton of paintings where you've got like snow on Bryce Canyon.
Right.
And it's really beautiful. But there is a really popular hike that people do there. It's Queens Trail combined with Navajo Combination Loop. And it's really recommended for first-time visitors. It's got some great views. And so if you could only do one trail while you're there, try to do Queens and Navajo Combination Loop. It's a good one. So just a little bit about the park.
And before we got to experience the wonder that was Bryce Canyon National Park, we had to get there. And to get there, we had to drive through Yosemite.
Did that mean a travel day?
Yeah.
I feel like you're about to talk about a travel day.
Yeah, that meant a travel day. So if you're here for the tragedy, get ready. We're about to spill the tea. it was a typical travel day for us. We got on the road and a check engine light came on. And we finally just broke down and we're like, you know what? We are going to stop and buy a diagnostic code reader.
Yeah.
So that we could check the codes ourselves and see what was going on each time that the check engine light came on. Because a lot of times it wasn't that big a deal.
Well, but we didn't even know. That wasn't our intent. Our intent was to get it fixed. And then you went inside a store and they were like, we can't check it for you, but we can sell you one of these devices where you can just check it all the time. And we're like, thanks.
Yeah.
Because so this happens all the time.
Yep. We're going to do that.
Ugh. It's brilliant, though, actually. People should definitely get one if you've got an older vehicle.
Yeah. If you have the kind of vehicle where your check engine light is coming on somewhat frequently, like buy one of these things so you can check the codes yourself. Because then you can know, like, this is something I need to get fixed right away.
Right.
Or we're okay for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It turned out that we're okay for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were able to keep going. This was kind of to Hillary's chagrin. Because the place where we stopped to get the truck checked out and ended up buying the little diagnostic code reader was in the town of Tonopah. I think it's Tonopah.
Tonopah.
Nevada. And this
Nevada.
Place, and this place was right next to the what they determined was the world famous Clown Motel.
Yeah, we'd never heard of it before, but we will never forget it.
Right. Yeah, since then we've looked stuff up about it. It's right next to a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
So if it wasn't creepy enough already, now you can just dial up the hauntedness of it. But the creepiest looking thing you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah. And we've seen it on TV now.
Couldn't get out of there faster.
Yeah, and we've seen it on TV now since then, too, which was really fun to be like, yep, that is exactly what I thought they were talking about, and we have been there. That is crazy. My yeah. only regret is that we did not go inside.
I don't regret that. I think we'd still be there. We'd be, like, part of the hotel now.
You know, we'd be in the cemetery.
It would have taken us in.
That's funny.
We eventually did make it to Bryce, which we had thought about stopping along the way. Originally, our intent was to stop somewhere along the way and do like a Harvest Host or a Cracker Barrel. None of those exist between Yosemite and Bryce, in case you're wondering. So you will not be stopping there. And we ended up calling our RV park in Bryce and saying, hey, can we just come early? But we'll be getting there late at night. And they, fortunately, our spot was available for us to be there a night early. And we ended up driving like 16 hours that day.
Yeah.
Before we finally like rolled in.
That was a long day.
It's a travel day.
And it was like we hit storms. We hit all kinds of things. And I remember we also hit the extraterrestrial highway. And I was like, wow, this is what they're talking about. Okay. It's literally the longest, flattest desert road I've ever seen. And we've been to Big Bend in Marfa, Texas.
Yeah.
So I feel like we've got something to compare it to.
That's true. And I feel like we spent the exact right amount of time on the extraterrestrial highway and at the clown hotel.
Yeah.
Which was to say, as quickly as possible, we got through it.
That's true. That's true.
So something we didn't know until right before we got to Bryce Canyon is that there's a monsoon season there, and we were right in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no clue that there would be monsoons in any form at all. I thought we were going to one of the driest places in the world. But it did rain every day. In the afternoon, it would kind of rain, and sometimes in the evening. But it actually wasn't too bad. Like, we got kind of lucky.
We never even got out of rain jackets when it was all said and done.
No, we were always, like, in a convenient place where we could just go inside. We were always kind of done with our hiking for the day and all of that. So it wasn't too bad. This wasn't the case everywhere. At the same time, in Zion National Park, they were having flash floods.
Yeah.
Which make sure you're subscribed, because we're headed there next. Big stuff goes down in Zion. But they had flash floods there. I think a woman died in the Narrows. And this was all happening while we were at Bryce. And so not far away at all. Like, there was big time flooding going on.
Which was crazy, because I remember watching that on the news or looking it up on the news or something and being like, oh, man, like we want to do that same hike, and somebody just died there.
Right.
And so, dun, dun, dun. Did we survive Zion National Park next week? Wait and find out.
Yeah, you'll have to tune in to know.
To know if we lived.
And then, Bryce, the elevation that you talked about earlier made it actually really cool there.
Yeah, and it had been really hot in a lot of the places we've been.
Yes.
We just came from Yosemite, where we'd been, like, sweating it out. So it was a really nice change up for us. Mm-hmm. And really, the RV park we were at was just perfect. It would be really perfect if you were there during the summer where it was super hot, because they had – okay, so we were at Ruby's Campground and RV Park. You'll find that everything in Bryce Canyon area is Ruby's, and we'll tell you more about that. But they had this huge pool. They had an indoor hotel pool nearby that you could use. They had really big RV sites. I was super impressed with the RV park itself. They had tent camping sites. They have really nice bathrooms and showers. Actually, we have experienced our fair share of bathrooms, and these were definitely good.
Yeah.
Because they were, like, private, and, yeah, that was, like, nice. You know, Ruby did a good job.
Ruby did. Remember, we were really impressed by Ruby.
We
were like, you know what? This Ruby, she had it going on.
Oh, Ruby.
Like,
who is,
you know,
this girl?
Yeah, this Ruby, she owns, like, the restaurant and the RV park and the hotel.
I love a successful businesswoman.
All this stuff. And we're like, man, that is somebody to look up to. Let's Women's History Month next year, we're just going to talk about Ruby. And then we found out that Ruby's a dude.
Yeah, Ruby's a man.
It's a man.
Wah, wah.
He and his wife, Ruben, a.k.a. Ruby, and Minnie, I think it's Syrett.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Sure. Moved to Bryce Canyon like over 100 years ago, and they started telling their friends just about how beautiful it was and how amazing it was, and started inviting people out. And those people would go back and tell people about how amazing it was and tell them about how awesome Ruben and Minnie were. And they ended up, like, they started hosting some strangers and, like, just people who knew people that were like, you got to go out and see their place and see their ranch. And they're like, you know what? We could turn this into something. Opened up a hospitality business, and the rest is kind of history. They've got a lodge. They've got cabins, but they have so much out there, and so much that they established way back when, so much that's there now. And the family still runs the business and looks after it. And so I think a big part of the Bryce Canyon experience is all, like, the Ruby stuff. It's really cool.
It is really cool. They basically own the whole city.
Pretty much.
Bryce Canyon City. It's kind of crazy. Okay, so Hiking. Let's talk about hiking in Bryce Canyon. Let's talk about the actual national park. We've been, you know, dancing around it. We'll just tell you a little bit about it. One of the things that I think about is the hike that we did on Navajo Loop. And okay, something really interesting that I think about Bryce Canyon is that when you're hiking, you're always hiking down, like really steep.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going into a canyon or you were coming up out of a canyon. So for the most part, there's a lot of incline that you're experiencing.
Yes.
And that makes it really interesting and maybe a little more intense. Although I would say, like, it's not too overwhelming from my perspective. You just got to take your time. But the other thing that's kind of interesting is that when you look at a map, there's all these trails and they all kind of connect and they've got all these different names. So when you're talking about the hike that you went on, you usually are talking about like three different trails.
Right.
Not just one. And so like this first morning when we went out, we did the Navajo Loop, Queens Garden Trail, and Wall Street. But that right there is only just about 3 miles.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes it sound like a lot because you're kind of connecting all these different trails together, which is kind of interesting. But so you'll hear people kind of refer to multiple trails all at once, and it's just because they're all connected. But we kind of like started at a pretty decent time, got up early, and we were able to get to the trailhead by 7:30, which is kind of a big deal, I'm going to say, because you've heard us talk about how much time you end up spending in your vehicle at these national parks. Like, we just come from Yosemite where we spent 2 hours getting to a trailhead.
Mm-hmm.
And that was us leaving like in the dark. And we would still, it would take us 2 hours to get to the trailhead. Well, in this instance, we're like, I think the most we ever drove was 15 minutes, I feel like.
Yeah, I think you're crazy. Right. Like all of Ruby's stuff, if you're staying with Ruby, you're right outside the entrance to the park.
Yeah, super like, convenient.
Literally could walk to the entrance of the park.
Yeah.
And the park's just not that big.
Mm-hmm.
There's really only one road, so it's really accessible.
Yeah, and it's so refreshing when you've been in a park a lot or when you've been in your vehicle a lot looking at national parks. It's really nice to not spend so much time in your vehicle, and this is a good park to do that in. Do you remember meeting a couple from the Netherlands when we were like at the trailhead and we were just starting?
I do, yeah.
Just vaguely, we all took each other's pictures.
But yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, that was just fun because we had just been in Europe and we were like, oh my gosh, and got to talk to them about it and stuff. That was fun. And one of my favorite things about this whole trail was really Wall Street. So I will say, if you get a chance, you definitely need to do the Wall Street leg.
Yes.
It's so cool. And there's a reason they call it Wall Street. I mean, it's literally you're kind of like looking up at all of these like skyscraper type of cliffs around you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's tons of switchbacks. So that's really fun too, because it just looks, the photo ops are just so cool. It looks really, really cool. And anyway, if you guys want to see some of this, you can check out our YouTube video where we're cataloging all of this for you.
Doing all that hiking.
Exactly.
But that was, I remember thinking like that was a really nice amount of hiking.
Mm-hmm.
Because we, you know, like you said, it was only 3 miles, a lot of elevation. So it was just hard enough that you're kind of tired. And we went back to the RV park. It rained that afternoon.
Surprise.
And we're like, here we are, monsoons. And, but then like the rain just kind of went away. I remember that night we cooked like chicken and cauliflower on the solo stove.
You had gotten really good with the solo stove too.
I did like cooking on the solo stove. Like once you kind of learn how, because we bought the grill attachment to go on top of it.
Yeah.
And we cooked a lot of our meals on that, like the whole time that we lived in the RV, really.
Well, and tell people what a solo stove is, just in case somebody doesn't know.
So if you have not seen a solo stove, it's basically kind of like a small barrel, like half of a barrel. It's silver and it's ventilated in such a way that it really pulls the heat and air in to the bottom and like kind of circulates it well. And that does a couple things. Like it really cuts down on the smoke. So if you're sitting around a campfire, there's going to be a lot less smoke with a solo stove, and it concentrates that heat. So when you grill over it, you don't have to have the fire going for very long, and it generates a ton of heat, and it'll put it on that grill, and you can grill so easy, so fast. And so I liked it for that. And we had like chicken and cauliflower, which ordinarily sounds like pretty boring.
It was so good though. But
like the Solo Stove like made some really great flavor to both. And so yeah. I enjoyed cooking on the Solo Stove a lot.
We really liked the Solo Stove, so much so that even though we have sold the Airstream at this point in life, like present day, we still own our Solo Stove.
Yeah, we have nowhere that we are able to currently use it, but we're like, sometime we're going to be able to use that again.
We are keeping that. If we have a place with a little backyard or a patio, we are keeping that to use it there. Do you remember our other hike that we did? We ended up going a lot longer. We did like 8 miles the next day.
Yeah, the next day we were ready to take on a little bit more, and we did the Fairland Loop Trail.
Yeah.
And there were very few people on that.
Yeah, I remember, almost creepily no people.
Yeah, I remember like the other trail, like we saw a few people. Wall Street was actually a little bit busy like with people. But this trail, there was hardly anybody. It was shaded for a good bit of it, which was nice. And like you said, like we were enjoying a real break from the heat. And so really liked that. Coming back is hard. The elevation is no joke. And I think like that's the disadvantage of canyon hikes is you go down and then you have to come back up. Mm-hmm. And like the hard part where I feel like if you're hiking a mountain, like you expend all your energy going up and then coming down super easy.
Yeah.
Because it's downhill, but this is the opposite. And so it takes some getting used to.
Yeah. Well, and like later that day, we wanted to take Maggie to get her some exercise because a lot of these places are just not dog friendly. So she hadn't been outside much and we were really feeling bad about it. So we wanted to take her on a run. And I think you ran, but I didn't. Did you go on this run or did I like just take her on a bike ride?
I ran a little bit, but you rode the bike with her and went a lot further.
That's so impressive, honestly, because now I'm looking at this and I'm like, what? We just hiked 8 miles with all that elevation and then we go on a run and a bike ride? This is impressive. I'm sorry. Like, who is this girl? But I was actually too tired to even walk and use the same kind of muscles. So I ended up being like, I'm going to ride a bike. And I attached Maggie's leash to it. And we were like, this is either going to be awesome or this is going to go south really fast. I thought
it was a horrible idea.
It really was a horrible idea. But somehow it worked. And she loved it. And we were like, I had to be really, really careful, and I had to teach her that she could not get in front of a bike. So there was a little bit of a learning curve, but and I had to be prepared to like literally break at any moment. But she loved it, and you could see her just like running in the wind and her hair flowing in her face, and it was just really cute because we got to go a lot faster than if we were jogging or running. And so she was just like really hauling it next to this bike, and it was really sweet. So I just like look back at that and go, oh, what a really nice little time with Maggie. But we like went through this whole RV park, which again, I have to say, Ruby's RV park is really great.
Yeah.
It's really really nice, like it's well paved. It's just also the sites are big enough and there's enough tree coverage. It's all the things you're looking for. And I think the Wi-Fi was good too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
I think we were just ended up being like really like satisfied there. So just good to know. But overall, I thought that Bryce Canyon, I don't know, I think for me, we were there, what, 3 days? One of those days was a rest day.
Yeah.
And we just kind of like hung out and edited videos and sat around in the rain. I think it was really rainy that day.
I think you're right, yeah.
But then the thing that I think about the most, it just reminds me of those old cowboy paintings of like some cowboy on the edge of this cliff with all of these red hoodoos everywhere. and maybe snow, maybe not. Like, but that's kind of what I think of when I think of Bryce Canyon. I think of like a cowboy out there on a horse.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
I mean, it definitely has those vibes. Like, I really enjoyed it. It was super chill. So easy to get around.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a park that if you don't want to hike or you can't hike, there's a lot of Bryce that you can see. Because you can drive right up to these parking lots and then, you know, a very quick walk to the edge of the canyon, and you get to see so much of it from the top of the rim of the canyon. So it's really cool for that. The weather was great because of the elevation.
Even with all the rain, it was great.
Yeah, yeah, it really was. And, you know, like we were about to head to Zion. It was hot in Zion. And it not that far away.
Right.
And so I think if you're going to Zion, go to Bryce Canyon too.
Yeah.
Like, you're not that far away. It's super close, but it's so different with such an easy drive between.
Yeah.
I just really
and two totally different parks.
Yeah, completely different. A completely different weather, completely different vibes, like way different. But if you're going to one, like, go hit the other. Because it's so cool. It's one of the ones I liked the most. I really enjoyed it.
You talked about it a lot, too, about how much you like it still. Well, next up, we are headed to Zion National Park, like we said. And it is going to be crazy. You guys don't want to miss it, honestly. Like, we hike the Narrows.
Mm-hmm.
We go 3 miles in and 3 miles back. And the Narrows is like this trail that's mostly just you're walking inside a river with this insanely tight canyon all around you. And so there's very little dry ground. And if there's a flood, and there are floods, like we mentioned, if there's a flood, there is nowhere to go except for to be shoved away in this water, which is crazy, and people actually die.
Yeah.
And so we did that, which felt really brave. But even braver than that was hiking Angel's Landing. And it is definitely, I would say, from what I can tell, one of the most dangerous hikes in the world. And it just...
Yeah. It was a super, super scary hike. One of us didn't make it. And you'll have to tune in next week to find out who it was.
Which one? Who's the thrill seeker that's ready to throw away their life? And you'll find out if we live. You'll find out. Okay, be sure to subscribe to Travel FOMO on YouTube. You can also see the upcoming video when it comes out about Zion in the next episode. So there's some fun, extreme things to see, especially in the coming weeks. And, of course, we'll be talking about it in all of the next episodes. We've got some great stuff lined up for you in this season of our National Park Spree.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, you can check us out on social media. Like Hillary said, we're on YouTube. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. We post all kinds of stuff out there as well. So if you're wanting some more Travel FOMO content, you can go there and get it.
That's right. And you can also reach us by email at travelfomopodcast@gmail.com. And if you've got a good story or something that you love about Bryce Canyon Park, why don't you send it to us? You can send it to us at travelfomopodcast@gmail.com.
If you've ever been fooled by Ruby, let us know.
Okay, guys, life is short.
Wander well.